It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh at three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday. Hope your day's treated you well. I hope you have an outstanding upcoming weekend. A lot of great football coming our way, of course. That will dominate the conversation today on the show. Details forthcoming. It is October 6th of 2023. Week 7 of the high school football season will kick off tonight with some football weather, right? Isn't this something today? And then, of course, week 6 of the college football season already underway, as well as week 5 of the NFL season, as, yes, my Bears played some competent football and then some last night. Did you see that? My goodness, 40-20, what got into the Bears as they take care of business against the old friend of ours, Riverboat Ron Rivera, and the Washington Commanders last night in that game. Justin Fields throws for 4 touchdowns. That's the second week in a row that Fields has done that. Man, this is, it's quite the ride. A 14-game losing streak was snapped by the Bears last night. That was the longest in franchise history, and that's saying something when you've been there from the beginning, one of the NFL's charter franchises, the Chicago Bears. So, I mean, there was talk last night ahead of that game that if the Bears lost and did so in embarrassing fashion, that perhaps the organization would consider doing something it's never done before, and that's firing a coach midseason, Matt Eberflus. So, sure as hell beats the alternative, being able to watch your team play good football. I'm a little optimistic. I'm ready to get hurt again. I don't really feel a whole lot anymore when it comes to my Bears, to be quite honest. But I think, yeah, as the Steve Carell meme goes from The Office, I am ready to be hurt again, Bears. So, let's see how long that maybe they can continue to play decent to better than decent football. Justin Fields, man, DJ Moore just looked outstanding last night in that game. I will say, though, I made it a point to go someplace and watch the game because, I'm sure this is breaking news, not pulling in like millions over here doing radio. And so I've got a couple different subscriptions, not Amazon Prime. So typically I just like to turn the radio on and listen to Thursday night football. But last night I wanted to watch it, so I went out actually to one of our sponsors, went out to Cooper's Tap Room at the bottom of College Hill in Cedar Falls and watched the game. And man, I tell you what, Amazon, they got work to do. I know there were problems in their first season as the provider for Thursday night football. Okay, that's going to happen. You're new to this. But they still have problems. And you're 5 weeks into the, you know, year number 2. So get it figured out over there, Jeff Bezos. That's all I got to say, because There was that one catch DJ Moore had on along the right sideline, and they whistled him out of bounds, and then nobody had a camera angle. So I don't know. I mean, part of that's an NFL thing, but I don't know how much Amazon might have to do with that. But just in general, just some stuff with their broadcast where it's like, no, that's you shouldn't do it that way. It is interesting. No more than I've watched Amazon Thursday Night Football since that came to be last season. But, hey, give me my moment in the sun here. The Bears played well last night, and damn it, you were going to hear about it today. Okay, we'll move on. For the sake of ratings, we will move on from the Chicago Bears on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. First things first, thanks so much for being here, however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you're following us on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X, at RealColeBear. Like our Facebook page, type in 1650TheFan. If you're on the Zuck machine, you'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go with more local and statewide sports content in your feed. Also, bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. That's where all sorts of local and statewide and national sports content ends up. Fresh content, baked daily. And also, you get the podcast of this show there, the Coach's Huddle podcast, today's Waterloo Blackhawks weekend preview. We've got Blackhawks hockey coming up later tonight here on the show, or on the station, I should say. 6:45 pregame at Sioux City, and 7:05 puck drop. So look forward to hearing Tim Harwood's call of Blackhawks hockey later tonight here on The Fan. If you want to connect with the show today, you've got options. You could tweet at me or post at me. That's what they're calling it on X now. You can send a Facebook message. You could dial me up. Do it old-fashioned, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918. With your questions or comments, or you could dial 800-913-9479 or email the show. Email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, here's what's on the agenda today. We'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this chilly Friday. Looking into tomorrow and Sunday. We'll come back in the second segment. We will preview Iowa State's Jack Trice legacy game tomorrow night against TCU. A game that if the Cyclones want to get to six wins, when you look at this schedule, I think it's a game that you gotta have tomorrow night against a gettable. They're good, but a gettable Horned Frogs team. And we'll talk with my colleague Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Does a great job covering Iowa State football. And we'll look back at last week's loss at Oklahoma and what the tape had to say. And also, of course, preview tomorrow night's game, which you'll hear on our companion station. We'll have Blackhawks hockey at Sioux Falls tomorrow night over here on The Fan. And with Iowa State playing a night game, flexed over to Cruisin' KCFI. Pregame coverage of Iowa State TCU begins on Cruisin' at 5 tomorrow, kickoff at 7. After we're done talking to Iowa State with Rob Gray, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get you at Radio Iowa Sports during that break. Come back in the third segment, and Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, like usual, joins us on a Football Friday. You can follow him on X at Logan_Blackman. We'll talk about my Bears taking down the Commanders last night, and what else is really catching Logan's eye ahead of week 5 of the NFL season. Also, we will, like usual, break all of them down. Iowa versus Purdue, Iowa State TCU, and UNI at Indiana State. We'll also give you our picks of the weekend. So look forward to that coming up in the third segment today on the show. Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast. After we're done there, we'll take a final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Friday and wrap up the show, wrap up the week. That is the plan, boys and girls. Let's go ahead and dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Friday. Last night in Metro Volleyball, 5A 4th-ranked Cedar Falls swept a triangular with Waverly Shell Rock and West Delaware. defeating the GoHawks 3-0 and the Hawks 3-1. In Metro boys and girls cross country yesterday, the Cedar Falls boys placed second at the Mississippi Valley Conference Super Meet at Birdsall Park, 22 points behind first place Cedar Rapids Kennedy. The Tigers were without top runner Jaden Merrick, who is set to return next week from an injury. Meanwhile, the Cedar Falls girls placed fourth in the Super Meet, 63 points behind first place Dubuque senior. Waterloo West sophomore Nakia Olivier was an individual medalist, placing second. In case you missed this big news yesterday, Waterloo West High School looking for a new varsity boys basketball coach as Cliff Baranobis, who had guided the Wahawks the past nine seasons, resigned from his position. Last season, the Wahawks went 18-6, and Baranobis recorded his 100th career win as coach at West. His best season was 2019-2020 when the Wahawks went 21-3, and Baranobis was named the MVC Valley Division Coach of the Year. The high school volleyball postseason pairings have been released. Class 1A and 2A regionals begin on Monday, October 16th. Meanwhile, Class 3A, 4A, and 5A regionals begin on Tuesday, October 18th. Here is who and where the Metro teams will play. In 5A, Cedar Falls will host the winner of Bettendorf versus Davenport West on October 19th. In 5A, also in 5A, Waterloo West plays at Dubuque Hempstead on October 19th. Waterloo East opens at Iowa City West on October 17th. In Class 2A, Waterloo Columbus travels to Durant on October 18th. All pairings can be found at the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union website. Week 7 of the high school football season kicks off tonight in games involving Metro teams. Waterloo West plays host to West Des Moines Valley. The Wahawks are 4-2 this season. The Tigers are 1-5. Waterloo East is at Class 4A second-ranked Western Dubuque, a 4A District 2 game. The Trojans 2-4 this season. The Bobcats 5-1. In Class 1A, 10th-ranked Waterloo Columbus Catholic is at home against East Marshall, a District 4 matchup. The Sailors are 4-2, East Marshall 1-5. In 8-player, Waterloo Christian on the road at Riceville. The Regents are 1-5, Riceville 5-1. And the Cedar Falls Tigers are on the road at Dubuque Senior. Tigers are 3-3 this season, looking for their first road win. You can listen to that game over on our companion station, Cruising KCFI. Pre-game coverage with Dave Finnegan begins around 6:55, kickoff at 7:30. In area ranked games in Week 7 of the high school football season, beginning in Class 1A, top-ranked Grundy Center is at home tonight against Albernette. Third-ranked Sumner Fredericksburg plays host to Central Springs. Ninth-ranked Dyke New Hartford plays at MFL Marmac. In Class A, ninth-ranked Wapsie Valley is at home against BCLUW. And in 8-player, top-ranked Gladbrook Rhinebeck hosts ninth-ranked Clarksville, both teams undefeated. And 7th-ranked Don Bosco plays at Turkey Valley. As I mentioned earlier, the Waterloo Blackhawks on the road going west for a pair of games this weekend. The Hawks skate at Sioux City tonight, at Sioux Falls tomorrow night. The Hawks 1-2 so far this season. Listen to the games right here on The Fan. Pre-game tonight begins at 6:45. The Missouri Valley Conference leading UNI volleyball team is at Evansville tonight. The Panthers are off to a 4-0 start in the Valley. Purple Aces are 1-3. First serve tonight is at 6. Pre-game coverage begins on 106.5 Corn Country at 5:45. UNI then has a quick turnaround, plays at Indiana State tomorrow afternoon. That match begins at 3 with pregame coverage on 106.5 Corn Country at 2:45. In college football tomorrow, Wartburg on the road at Luther for an American Rivers Conference matchup. The Knights enter tomorrow's game 5-0. The Norse are 0-4. Kickoff is at 1. The Iowa Hawkeyes host their annual homecoming game against Purdue. Iowa enters tomorrow's game 4-1. The Boilermakers 2-3. Kickoff is at 2:30. UNI travels to Terre Haute for its Missouri Valley Football Conference road opener at Indiana State. The Panthers are 2-2 this season. The Sycamores 0-4. Kickoff is at 6 tomorrow night. Listen to that game on 93.5 The Mix. Pre-game coverage with J.W. Cox and Scott Peterson begins at 5. And as I mentioned, the Iowa State Cyclones hosting TCU tomorrow night for their Jack Trice Legacy game. The Cyclones 2-3 this season, Horned Frogs 3-2. You can listen on Cruising KCFI pregame coverage at 5 tomorrow evening, kickoff at 7. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of this Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday. We'll come back on the other side and break it down. Iowa State TCU. Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Byer.
San Francisco 49ers have acquired linebacker Randy Gregory in a trade from the Denver Broncos. The Broncos giving up Gregory in a seventh rounder for a sixth rounder from the 49ers. Dolphins acquired wide receiver Chase Claypool in a trade with the Bears earlier today. Chicago gets a sixth and seventh round pick in the 2025 draft for the wide receiver. Dolphins have the Giants on Sunday. Giants running back Saquon Barkley is questionable to play in the game because of his injured ankle. Colts are listing running back Jonathan Taylor as questionable to face the Titans. Raiders quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo has been cleared from concussion protocol. He'll start against the Packers on Monday night. While Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari says he needs another surgery on his injured knee and will not play this season. American gymnast Simone Biles won the all-around title at the 2023 World Championships in Belgium. It's her sixth all-around world title in her career. Biles now has Olympic and World Championship medals that total 34, the most of any gymnast in history.
This is 1650 The Fan. Follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ and like the 1650 The Fan Facebook page.
Want your home's furnace to stay safe and reliable? And want to prevent any potential problems before they happen? At your local 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, we recommend an annual furnace inspection and tune-up. Call 855-1-HOUR, because not taking care of your furnace, that's just cold.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-HOUR.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
What does it mean to be bold? To me, being bold means to dream bigger, live better, and make an impact. I'm Dr. Jared Smith, Superintendent of Schools for the Waterloo Community School District, where we're gearing up for another awesome and enriching school year. With over 10,000 students across 21 campuses, our district remains one of the largest in the state of Iowa. We use our 21st century curriculum to teach our students to be bold, and we couldn't do any of this without the strong, ongoing support of our parents, teachers, staff, administrators, local businesses, and city officials. Thank you all for everything you do to support the Waterloo Community School District, with the ultimate objective of helping each student in the district to be bold and achieve their goals. Learn more about how we provide educational opportunities for every student at waterlooschools.org.
The Waterloo Community School District, where the future is now.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Juice Reel, the betting intelligence tool that's making better bettors. Open the App Store and get your hands on Juice Reel. Juice R-E-E-L. Juice Reel.
As a 6-point road underdog, the Chicago Bears knocked off the Washington Commanders 40-20 yesterday to end a 14-game losing streak. Coming up Sunday, the Kansas City Chiefs in action at the Minnesota Vikings. The Chiefs open as a 6-point road favorite. That number bet down to 3.5 points, the total 52.5 at U.S. Bank Stadium. Big Ten football tonight, Illinois laying 3.5 at home in Nebraska, the total 43. It is Iowa State tomorrow, a 6.5-point home dog to TCU. Iowa laying 2 at home against Purdue at Kinnick Stadium. For the latest sports betting news and information, go to VSIN.com. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 40 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, highs level off around 57. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows level off around 42. Dry with temperatures a bit below average Sunday and Monday, and highs from the upper 50s to the mid 60s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 50.
Bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show, with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Football Friday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. The Iowa State Cyclones have the Jack Trice Legacy game tomorrow night at Jack Trice Stadium, of course. It's a 7 o'clock kick. You'll hear coverage over on our companion station, Cruising KCFI. Pregame begins at 5. We're going to talk about that game between the Clones and Horned Frogs. Also look back at last Saturday's loss at Oklahoma as Rob Gray, colleague of mine from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins us now on this Friday edition of the show. Rob, as always, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Always good to join you, Cole.
Likewise, Rob. Let's dig right in to the loss at Oklahoma. Talk about a tale of two halves in that game. For the most part, in the first two quarters, that was edge-of-your-seat football. Pop the popcorn type stuff. And then the second half happened. So what's still front of mind for you as we're almost a week out from the Clones falling short in Norman?
Yeah, front of mind for me is I haven't seen the defense look that porous and more essentially helpless to stop an opponent in a long time. I mean, they did give up 62 points to TCU last year, but like most losses last season, very weird game, didn't even give up 400 yards, you know. But, you know, again, the defense, you know, it gave up 50, but actually, you know, pick six to start the first drive. Another interception set up a really short field and the block punt for safety. So you had special teams issues. You had offense putting the defense in bad spots. But then again, the defense, even on fourth down, if they got him to fourth down, Oklahoma would convert those with ease.
Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel had all the time in the world. They've got to figure something out. The three-man rush is not producing anywhere near enough pressure as it has in the past, even when they bring a linebacker to make it four. So it's going to be a big game because you can, you know, Chandler Morris can really sling the ball around as well. Second best passing offense in terms of yards per game in the Big 12. And a very, going to be a very crisp night and obviously a very celebratory night in a way. I mean, even though, of course, the what is being celebrated is the legacy of Jack Trice and of course, his tragic death that stemmed from injuries in a game against Minnesota. I believe it would have been a day before to the 100 years of this game honoring him.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to what, you know, Iowa State, the university, the athletic department have collaborated on and how everything will be put together in terms of a presentation to, you know, pay tribute to the legacy of Jack Trice tomorrow night, Rob. You mentioned the lack of pass rush on Dylan Gabriel last weekend. And that was the thing that stuck out most to me because as he was dicing up that Iowa State secondary, I think first instinct for anybody is going to be, wait a minute, like this secondary is too good to have this happening. And, you know, these things work in concert. And to me, if you're going to point fingers, I very quickly arrived at they got to get some pressure on the quarterback and that's certainly something so far this season, Rob, that's been up and down. I mean, maybe it's been more down than up. I don't know. Just to elaborate a little bit more on what you think can happen, might happen to create some more pressure.
Yeah, I mean, they're either going to have to get more creative with blitz packages or, you know, occasionally put a four-man front out there is my thought. But, I mean, I know they're both to do that. I mean, veteran defensive coordinator John Haycock is revolutionary in coming up with the dime stack 3-3-5 deal. And, you know, a bunch of coaches studied him, came to Ames and asked about it. And a bunch of teams are using it now. Maybe not full time, but at least on third downs and some other, situational football. So no secondary can cover forever. And, you know, Iowa State's TJ Tampa is going to play on Sundays unless something crazy happens, and he wasn't really picked on, but Miles Purchase on the other side was very much picked on, as he was in the Oklahoma State game to some extent. And you got a backup safety, former walk-on Ben Nickel, fine player, plays hard. He's no Malik Verdun, though, and Malik possibly is back this week. He's missed the last few games, and he's very, very important in both coverage and in run support for that defense. So they're missing some guys. They missed Gary Vaughn for a while. He's back in the lineup. They're one veteran linebacker. And again, Hickok's track record tells you they're going to get something figured out. Is this defense elite like the team has been, at least from very, very good to elite each of the last past six seasons? Maybe not. But I think Oklahoma's going to do what they did to a lot of teams Gabriel has time to throw the football. And also the offense scored quickly. I mean, the big plays in the passing game have come since they've opened things up and spread the field out a little bit more, which they had to. And then the running game got going. The offensive line had its best run blocking game, and the running back showed what they can do. Getting 121 yards in the first half is, I think, darn near 8 yards a pop. You know, from Abu Sama to Eli Sanders had some nice runs. Cartavius Morton trying to get back. Cartavius has been hurt a lot in his career, and no different this season. DeeDee had a run of 20 yards. Sama had a big burst. That kind of went away in the second half once they were down by more than two scores, and the late first half meltdown is concerning. But, you know, an all roundabout way to say yes, the defense is really going to have a hard time unless they do something different to produce that pressure up front, especially if Rudon has a setback and isn't able to be back out there, and Purchase continues to struggle after really being very solid throughout his career.
It certainly seems like the number one thing to keep an eye on, the ability to create pressure with that, with the first two levels of the defense, like you point out, Rob. And that's interesting for me in the sense of, you know, you go back to that Ohio game, and it seemed like the offense was in a complete crisis. And now a couple weeks later, you know, we're talking about something completely different on the other side of the ball that needs improvement rapidly. And when it comes to that run game, just to follow up there, because I was going to ask you about it, you know, given the fact, like you mentioned, that Abu Sama and Eli Sanders, for the second straight week and to a higher level, looked really good. If I'm not mistaken, there's been some adjustments personnel-wise on the offensive line recently, and for whatever my eye test is worth, it looks like maybe there's some wrinkles or adjustments, some things that are getting tried out in terms of blocking schemes or some things beyond that with this run game that may well be paying dividends.
Yeah, I'm sure there is some tweaking. They've certainly been trying to get to the outside with quick hits, you know, taking a little bit of the guesswork out of it. But I was, you know, we one of the players available on Tuesday during media, conversations, with Jarrett Hufford, you know, veteran guard who's played some tackle too at Iowa State. And he said it wasn't so much a scheme or a difference. It's just, he said, quote, we had enough. And he said not only the offensive linemen had enough, but the running backs, the tight ends, people blocking on the perimeter, they had enough. Hmm. And we just said, we're going to be tenacious. We're going to get this done no matter what, you know. And then, you know, I asked Coach Campbell about that when we talked to him, talked to players first, then we hit Coach Campbell, and he said, yeah, well, that's the response you hope you get, right, from guys like that. Now, that's got to hold up. It's got to be, you know, something that they can maintain, you know, just saying we're not going to continue. The Ohio game, I believe, Campbell talked about the offensive line's performance being embarrassing, quote unquote. So, and he's not wrong, certainly. So that was very encouraging to see that. I think one wrinkle has been true freshman Brendan Black's gotten a lot of playing time in there, and you know, he looks good out there. At some point, they're probably going to get Jake Rensselaer back if he's healthy. That's been a problem throughout his career. He obviously is part of that cut up in that gambling probe that's seeming more problematic with each news report.
Yeah.
But, they really feel like they're hitting on something, and it really seems to come down to what many coaches just call want to. And, you know, just finally saying that we're not going to, be pushed around anymore.
I suppose my final thought on that run game, Rob, is, okay, we can't kid ourselves and think that, you know, by the end of the season, they're operating like a ground game juggernaut or anything. But just to be able to have it be good enough consistently to keep the play action pass viable, I think that's kind of the bar to strive toward. And I know they wouldn't admit that. You know, they want to be great, but given what we've seen from Rocco Becht over the past couple weeks, that's really going to help him continue to tap into what seems like a decent amount of potential that he has.
Yeah, I mean, he's looked really good. I mean, he's had a couple pick sixes this year, which is echoes of former starting quarterback Kenner Deckers a little bit, who had the great arm talent. And, Rocco's got the same deal. I think his leadership's been really good for them, and he's clearly been able to connect with Jalen Noel, Jaden Higgins, not last game, but, you know, Daniel Jackson with a lot of downfield throws, really stretching the field, but also getting to that edge. It gives a little bit in the run game. But, you know, spreading the field out, getting those deep balls, you know, quick strike touchdowns against Oklahoma really, really opened things up. And then Oklahoma didn't load the box like every team they've played to that point did. And Hufford also said, you notice that? He said, well, they're not going to respect our run game. We're going to have to do something about that. And it ties into that whole thing. And, still they only got 20 points, but I think if they hadn't fallen so far behind, that they could have kept going with the run game, had a bit more balance. And I don't think they're going to stop Oklahoma at any point in that game.
Yeah.
But certainly probably could have put up a couple more touchdowns and maybe lost by about the same margin or a little bit less.
Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, with us for a few more minutes here on a Football Friday edition of Colling Company. Follow him on Twitter or X at Rob W. Gray. Rob, TCU, Cincinnati, Baylor, Kansas, BYU, Texas, Kansas State. That's what's left on the schedule. What are your thoughts on Iowa State and the likelihood of a path to 6 wins and bowl eligibility as we are now nearing the halfway point of the season?
Yeah, they're really going to have to do well in these 5 consecutive, they've got a bye week in there, but 5 straight games. TCU, good team, but a team that if Iowa State plays well, they should feel pretty good about having a chance to beat at home. And then, you know, the other teams you mentioned, I mean, Cincinnati's showing it's fine at times, BYU fine, Kansas, I'm still not sold. I think that offense is going to be tough to contain, but I really don't think the Jayhawks' defense is very good. Look at those next 5. If Iowa State can go 3-2, they're sitting at 5 wins in Texas. I mean, Texas and Oklahoma are head and shoulders, you know,
yeah,
above the rest of the league, which makes that Red River rivalry game, appointment viewing, which I don't think it really has been in the last few years. Oklahoma really impressed me, but when you can be that successful in the transfer portal, starters from other Power 5 programs that you can plug in, particularly on that defense, that's a game changer. They should look at these games as next 5 as real possibilities to get them all. Can they do that when they struggle with consistency on both sides of the ball and in special teams at times? Probably not, but I know they feel good about the opportunities. And if they get to that, if they can get 3 or 4 of those, I mean, obviously that 4 gets them bowl eligible again for the 6th time in 7 seasons, and 3 really sets up interesting desperation matchups against a really good Texas team and what looks like a really good Kansas State team on the road.
Finally, Rob, just to put your thoughts together on the matchup with TCU, you touched on it a little bit there. A good team, but a beatable team. Perhaps a lot of it has to do with what we talked about at the beginning of the segment, which is getting some pressure on their talented quarterback. Perhaps beyond that, what do you think is going to be key for Iowa State tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, it's just that. I mean, Chandler Morris has to be uncomfortable, and the defense, you know, really since playing UNI and Theo Day, has not been able to make an opposing quarterback uncomfortable. Outside of Jeremiah Cooper, who had a pick 6 in that game and leads the country with 4, you know, had one last week when the game was out of hand, just not producing enough takeaways in addition to not getting the pressure up front. You know, they can't turn it over. Maybe they could, if they can force a turnover, maybe they can withstand turning it over once, but certainly not giving away points. So they got to play really, it's the usual formula. They got to play really clean. They got to get some pass rush. And if so, they've got a great chance. If they falter in any of those key areas, special teams get punch blocked. Chase Contreras has been rock solid, except for a couple misses against Ohio and a block against Iowa. He falters a little bit. You just can't afford to falter in any single area. And that's kind of the the precarious tightrope Cyclones are walking on. And, but certainly a great chance if they can play a really good game on Saturday and over the next 4 Saturdays.
I'm looking forward to watching what I hope is a good game tomorrow night, Rob, and we'll be following along with your coverage at thegazette.com. Thanks so much, as always, for being here. Always appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, and great to join you as always, Cole.
All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up during the break. We'll come back on the other side, and Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will join. We'll talk a little NFL Week 5, Iowa versus Purdue, you and I at Indiana State, Iowa State TCU, and give you our picks of the weekend. That's next right here on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company, right here on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is brought to you by Your Life Iowa. Free support 24/7 at yourlifeiowa.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Tad Kim. The Hawkeyes and Cyclones are at home tomorrow in conference play. Iowa hosts Purdue. It'll be the first start for sophomore Deacon Hill at quarterback. He took over against Michigan State after Cade McNamara suffered an ACL injury on the second drive of the game. And Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz says the players have rallied around the former Wisconsin transfer.
He's very popular with the players, and again, night and day difference in terms of personality, and that's one of the beautiful things about this sport. He'll do just fine. The guys want to play for him. They respect him, and they're all pulling for him.
It's a 2:30 kickoff in Kinnick Stadium. Iowa State's at home against TCU. The Cyclones enter the game with a mark of 2-3, while the Horned Frogs are 3-2. And UNI's on the road tomorrow in the Missouri Valley to play Indiana State. This is Radio Iowa.
So why do I need vaccinations?
If I don't get vaccinated, how sick could I get?
Can I get multiple vaccines at once?
What's done to make sure vaccines are safe?
It's important to address your concerns about vaccines. Just make sure to get answers from people you can trust, not from a social post or an opinion on the internet. Instead, ask your healthcare provider about vaccinations, because they know you, and they'll always put your health first. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services.
Life is too short, but what makes it special? Those little moments that happen every day. Those big moments that take our breath away. But no matter the moment, you have to be healthy enough to make them. For women, that means watching our alcohol use as we age, because our bodies can't handle it like we used to. Let's put down the drink so we can savor the moments. Visit yourlifeiowa.org for more info. A message from Iowa HHS.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash, fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash, it's your time to shine.
Got big dreams for your small business? You're not alone. The Senate Agency is a growing business too. That's why we work with Nationwide, a leading small business insurer that insures over 500,000 businesses like yours. Nationwide can help protect and grow your business so you can focus on making your small business dreams come true. I'm Kyle Hildman with the Senate Agency. Call us today at 233-6103. That's 233-6103. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Hot tubs, saunas, pools, chemicals, parts, grills, pellets, seasonings, all available locally at Tubs R Us. I'm Chris Fink with Tubs R Us. We've been serving the Cedar Valley since 1994 with reputable service and quality products like QCA Spas. Stop into our showroom to explore ways to turn your home into an oasis with a new spa, sauna, pool, or smoker grill. Whether you want quality time with loved ones to simply relax or entertain friends, we're here for you. We're Tubs R Us on the corner of Falls in Ainsboro, Waterloo.
Cole & Company, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Yeah, welcome back. Football Friday edition of the show continues. Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast joins us now. Logan, as always, thanks for being here. How about my Bears and old Justin Fields last night, my guy, huh?
I know. That game was actually really fun to watch. I texted you during the game because, like, that first drive, they ran three plays, and they were all vert. Do the Commanders' corners, did they want to show up this game? I mean, I guess not, given the fact that DJ Moore had like 230 of Justin Fields' 280 yards. Like, they were just like, you know what? The guy that they just traded the number one overall pick for, among other things, of course, but the guy they trade for the number one pick for, he's not that good. He's not that good. Let's just leave him wide open the entire game and just let him absolutely feast. But Justin Fields, it was a good game for him. It's back-to-back really good game for him. And I'm hoping that's something they can build on the rest of the year. It's exciting to see because it'll be more and more interesting as we get closer and closer to the offseason.
I don't think he can really afford, if he wants to be the Bears quarterback next season, Logan, to kind of like put this succinctly together. I don't think he can really afford more than like three more games this season that are clunkers.
Yeah, it's just gonna be interesting how the play calling changes because people now are. Well, you would think this happened before the season, like when they watched the preseason. It was like, man, these guys got a nice little chemistry going. But then the play calling at the beginning of the year was really rough. So maybe that's what the Commanders were like, just completely playing off for. But now that they had that kind of game, there'll be more people keying in on it. So we'll see how he adjusts with the rest of the league trying to figure out how. Hey. This guy's actually playing pretty good. Let's say he's finding some confidence. I don't care if it's against Commanders and Broncos. He's finding some confidence. Let's key in on him. So, yeah, just be interested to see how he develops and continues to adjust as other teams adjust to him the rest of the year.
Before we talk college football, anything else with Week 5 of the NFL coming up here that's really got your attention?
I mean, the London game's going to be interesting, the Bills-Jaguars, because I got to get up at 8 before 8:30 to get that game going. So it'll be interesting to see how that one goes. I'm excited for that one. My first or second game I went to with Josh Allen, the quarterback, was when the Bills played the Jaguars. And then the Chiefs-Vikings game, I think will be a really, really fun one. And then the Niners-Cowboys, you got two really good defenses. You got the Niners offense against the Cowboys' vaunting defense. We'll see if Brock Purdy can continue his perfect run of no interception on the season.
Yeah.
So that's a game that's going to be, out of all the games this weekend, that's the one that is the most fun, most exciting one to watch. I'm glad that one's a Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, should be a really good Sunday Night Football game. Can't wait to watch Brock Purdy in primetime. We'll have that game, of course, here on The Fan, pregame coverage of the Cowboys-Niners on Sunday Night Football at 6:30. Sunday night, of course. And, Logan, shifting gears here, talking college football. Since you brought up Brock Purdy, let's talk about Iowa State-TCU Saturday night at 7. This is a gettable game. Not going to be easy, but a gettable game for the Cyclones. It's a game I said earlier in the show, when you look at the schedule, what's left on it, kind of feel like this might be a must win in terms of six wins, getting to six wins in bowl eligibility.
I was just shocked at how they were playing last. That first drive of the game against Oklahoma, or that you get the pick six in the very first drive of the game, and then you come back and you're like, you know what, we're not just going to lay down Oklahoma. We're going to actually keep up with them at least for, a half.
Yeah.
And then Oakland was like, wait a minute, what are we doing? What are we doing, guys? We're Oakland. We're averaging 500 yards a game on offense. We should not be struggling this much here. Now, at least the last time I checked, I think they held them to under 500 yards, so that could be a win for Iowa State there as well. But this game against TCU, it's another very, very high-octane offense. Chandler Morris, really solid quarterback. It's going to be fun, especially with the Jack Trice stuff going on, the uniforms, the night game. They flexed it to FS1, which is really fun. So, yeah, everything's looking up for that game. Maybe they can pull it out, and I'm excited to see how they go up against Chandler Morris to see how the offense keeps developing because Rocco Beck's actually looking fairly solid right now.
Yeah.
So if they keep developing on offense, they could pull off the upset. I'm not saying it's completely out of the question, especially with all the different things going on. It'd be like one of those games where a divine intervention took course or something like that with Jack Trice Day going on. So. It'll be really fun to see, especially with the uniforms.
Yeah, I think there's going to be something special in the air tomorrow night at Jack Trice with that legacy game. Iowa State a 6.5-point underdog. Iowa takes on Purdue. It's homecoming in Iowa City. It is also the dawn of the Deacon Hill era, and I've talked about it a couple times on the show this week, Logan. The more I've popped the hood on this and looked into everything there is to look into about Deacon Hill and the dynamics that exist here, with him stepping in for Cade McNamara, I'm a little encouraged. I think there might be something there. There very well couldn't be, but a guy who self-admittedly loves throwing the deep ball and just spins the hell out of it, maybe that's something that can transcend the unimagined or unimaginable offense of Brian Ferentz.
Yeah, once I heard him say that, I was like, you know what? I'm not too surprised by that. Given how he was zipping the ball over the field against Michigan State, it was like, man, this dude is just throwing it at 100 miles an hour every single – I don't know if he knows what touch is yet, and maybe he'll figure that out against Purdue. But, yeah, it, it's going to be interesting. It's a completely different style of offense to what they've been running, because you go from McNamara, who doesn't really have that much arm velocity, he doesn't really zip it in there. He's not that big of a guy. Like, he's barely bigger than me. And then you've got Deacon Hill, 6'3", 260 pounds, with an arm that he says could throw 75 yards. Like, it's just two completely different quarterbacks. But maybe we'll wake up the offense a little bit. And this is a game against Purdue where, you know, they've struggled in the past against. Even Kirk was like, hey, David Bell, if he's not here, yeah, we're living good. We're living good. So yeah, I'm excited to see this one. I'm very intrigued to see what this offense looks like. With Deacon Hill versus McNamara, it's just like yin and yang of each other. Like, he's the antithesis of McNamara. So it'll be interesting to see how they develop that offense going forward.
His receivers got to catch the ball, unlike last Saturday against Michigan State. But, yeah, eager actually to see what it could look like for the Hawks tomorrow afternoon against the Boilermakers. Finally, before we get into picks of the weekend, UNI has its Missouri Valley Football Conference road opener tomorrow night at Indiana State. UNI 2-2, the Sycamores 0-4. They did get their starting quarterback Cade Chambers back last week and suffered a narrow loss against Murray State, for whatever that might be worth. Theo Day enters this game coming off big-time back-to-back performances in back-to-back wins. He's averaging 300 yards per game now at this point. Meanwhile, the defense continues to give up some big plays, Logan. And another thing I've got my eye on is UNI's run game hasn't been great. It hasn't been, like, awful. Maybe it's, you could call it, adequate. It needs to continue to be at least that, so you can take some pressure off Theo with the play action. I think they got to continue to run the ball at least decent to keep that play action viable. What's on your mind for the Panthers as they have a game that they should win tomorrow night at Indiana State?
Oh, yeah, that play action is massive, especially when it was working last week with Ty Edwards getting over 100 yards for his first game of his UNI career. It's just that the offense was just clicking. I texted you after the game. I was like, man, that was – what a game that was. Like, I don't know what I was really expecting going in, because you saw what the offense was doing the first 2 weeks against two really good teams, and then you saw what they did against Idaho State, which is, you know, what they should do against a team like Idaho State. So it's kind of like, that's what the offense can be. Can they do it against better opposition? And they really lit it up last week. Theo Day looked like Theo Day, which is always nice to see. The running game was working better. But, yeah, the defense is a little iffy right now. But if Theo Day and Ty Edwards can carry over what they did last week, they should – I don't want to diminish Indiana State, but they should roll. If they're all clicking on all cylinders like they were last week, it should be a fairly easy one for the Panthers. At least that's what I'm expecting anyways.
And the thing is, Logan, they're not going to look ahead, but we can do it, given what we're doing for a living here. A trip to top-ranked South Dakota State is what awaits in 8 days for the Panthers. So, to me, it's like, okay, here's a conference road game against a team that you should be able to continue to kind of stack wins in terms of, you know, the progress that you're making, some of the errors that you're cleaning up. Yeah, they got to take care of business and win the damn game. But I'm going to be watching some stuff real close, like special teams coverage. Like I mentioned before, can they continue to find a way to at least be good, a little better than adequate with that run game? And will the defense continue to figure some things out that it needs to? Because, you know, it just, you gotta check some more of these boxes if you're really going to have a chance to test South Dakota State like they did a season ago, albeit that game was in the Unidome.
Yeah, you don't really have a lot of opportunities to stack wins in the Missouri Valley Conference, but if you go in beating Youngstown State, beating Indiana State, you go into that South Dakota State game 3-2, you're looking at the season a little bit differently. And they've played fairly well against South Dakota State at South Dakota State the last few times they played there. So maybe they can carry more momentum in there, but it's a different beast this time around. The last time they played them, they weren't this team. Like, they brought back everybody apart from Tucker Kraft last year on offense.
Yeah.
Like, they are just a monster this year. And, like, Drake already fell victim to him at Target Field earlier this year. So, I don't know. Maybe they're on the run just to beat every single Iowa team. They almost beat Iowa last year. They were going to beat Drake. And now they're on to UNI. But, yeah, that's going to be a really, really fun guy. I hope they're up to the challenge. And getting a nice win over India State can definitely help in that that task in beating South Dakota State the following week.
All right, quickly, picks of the weekend. I'll just give you my three to start. A lot of home cooking here. I like Iowa State with the points. They're getting 6.5, Logan, against the Horned Frogs tomorrow night. And like I mentioned before, I think there's just going to be something special in the air tomorrow night with that Jack Trice legacy game. I like Iowa winning on homecoming. They are giving 2.5. If it was 3, maybe that's a different story, but I can stomach 2.5. And then also, I like Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes on the road at Arizona State. Arizona State, I think, just 1-4 this season, and Colorado's only got to cover a 3.5-point spread.
I came close to picking Colorado. I did come close to that one, but I wanted to go a little different. So I am sticking in the Pac-12, though. I'm going to go Washington State, my boy Cameron Ward, and the Washington State Cougars taking on UCLA. It's going to be a really fun one at the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The Cougars are a 3.5-point dog. I know UCLA is very good defensively, but I'm going to take Cameron Ward in that game. He's having a very good season. Then you got Oklahoma going against Texas. Quinn Ewers had the best game of his career up to that point last year, coming back from the injury against Bama. 4 touchdowns, 49-0 win. I don't think they'll get that again, but I do think Texas will cover the 5.5 in Dallas. And then finally, I'm going to go back to the Big Ten. And Maryland is taking on Ohio State. They're given 19.5. I understand that the horseshoe is not an easy place to play, but Tua Tagovailoa is having a really solid season this year at quarterback. So I'm going to have Maryland covering the 19.5 against the Buckeyes this weekend.
There you go, everybody. 6 different plays from yours truly and Logan. Maybe you should fade all of them. I don't know. Just do whatever you think is right. But there you go. You got the picks of the weekend from Cole and Logan. Logan, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for being here. Enjoy the weekend.
Yes, sir. You too.
I'm Rhett Lewis with NFL Network now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Bears raced out to a 27-3 halftime lead on their way to a 40-20 win over the Commanders to get their first W of the year and snap a 14-game losing streak. Justin Fields tossed 4 touchdowns. DJ Moore at 230 receiving yards and 3 of those scores. Meanwhile, the Bears held the Commanders to just 29 yards on the ground. Bears wideout Chase Claypool was a healthy inactive for the second straight game. Before the game Thursday night, Chicago GM Ryan Poles speaking on ESPN 1000, the Bears pregame radio show, said the Bears would be taking things day to day to figure out what our next move is and wished Claypool luck moving forward. In sad news, legendary Bears linebacker Dick Butkus passed away at the age of 80. Butkus made the Pro Bowl in 8 of his 9 seasons in the NFL and was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in his first year of eligibility in 1979. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
This new Wendy's Frosty flavor is way too exciting to keep under wraps. It's a brand new, first-of-its-kind flavor. Get this. Pumpkin spice. I know, right? It's so good. It's rich. It's cozy. It's the perfect flavor for some fall Frosty time. Watch. Everyone will see it and jump on the bandwagon. Grab a never-before-seen pumpkin spice Frosty or pumpkin spice Frosty cream cold brew today when you choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Vanilla Frosty is temporarily unavailable.
Bex recognizes this week's player with hearts, Colton Harkin from Applington Parkersburg High School, for his commitment and passion on the field and within the farming community.
Colton began showing animals at an early age and enjoyed the camaraderie that comes with it.
Just the people, like you meet. I mean, they're all good people. I mean, showing animals kind of makes people better, more responsible and hardworking, and that's the kind of people I like to be around, so it just kind of drew me to it.
Whether it's football, wrestling, track, or the show ring, Colton loves to compete and says farming's also taught him to handle adversity and points to this year's drought conditions in much of the state.
I mean, you have rough patches in sports, too. It's just you got to keep moving forward every day, like get better and figure out how to make stuff better.
As for his future, Colton would like to be involved in some way in agriculture.
I've thought about some ag business or like being a banker. I mean, I want to raise show cattle. I know that, which is something I love to do.
At Bex, we are and will remain farmers at heart.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Young quarterbacks can be tough to evaluate, but a great receiver can certainly help alleviate those concerns. After adding Ja'Marr Chase, the Bengals went from picking inside the top 5 to the Super Bowl in 2022. Josh Allen became a perennial MVP candidate after the Bills acquired Stephon Diggs. And Jalen Hurts went from playing for his job to a $255 million extension after the addition of A.J. Brown. It's still early, but maybe we're starting to see a similar pattern in Chicago. The addition of DJ Moore has done wonders for Justin Fields' development. Moore lit up the Commanders last night for 230 yards, 3 touchdowns. In the process, Fields looks like the guy that the Bears expected him to be when they selected him 11th overall in 2021. You always have to be careful with these standalone games, but with multiple teams trying to figure out what they have under center, last night was a good example of maybe what the Bears have. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
Bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, or the streamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/giftguide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore our innovative PCs like the XPS 13 laptop, powered by the latest Intel Core processors, plus this season's top accessories. Visit Dell.com/giftguide today to get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/giftguide.
That's a wrap for the week for Friday. Thanks so much for being here. Got to thank Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast. Blackhawks hockey coming up in less than an hour. Hawks skating at Sioux City. Pre-game coverage at 6:45. Keep it locked right here. Cedar Falls Tiger football over on Cruising KCFI. Have a great night. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back Monday at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.